Dr. Darcy.
Yes, nurse.
Now, Dr. Darcy, we've got a very sick plant here. What do you think we should do?
Let me get my gloves on for a thorough investigation.
The Gardening Gang with Pete Little and Cheryl and Darcy. We're together every Saturday morning.
8 till 10, right here at Coast FM 963.
Get your hands dirty with The Gardening Gang. Saturday mornings at 8 on Coast FM 963.
At Coast FM 963 on the central coast of New South Wales. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. It is the Gardening Gang for yet another weekend. Pete Little and Cherilyn Darcy wearing her West Tigers scarf today. Is that an event?
Yes, it is.
Is there a big event coming up with the Tigers today?
Oh, my goodness, sacrilege. Yes, there is. It's the Battle of the Cats this afternoon at 3 p.m. The Panthers versus the Tigers. We've been doing so well until last week. But it's a big one on this afternoon, Pete, so I'm showing my true colours.
Well, we know what colours Sherilyn wears with pride, the mighty orange and black.
Mm.
And this is the Gardening Gang, all being, of course, all being well today. We've got a great show. We're talking about vertical gardens, Sherilyn. You know, you chose that topic because so many people are getting into this vertical garden world. There's also some songs that we're going to be playing today that sort of talk about getting up. In a way, but why vertical gardens?
Why vertical gardens? Well, why not? The thing is, we're living in smaller spaces and we don't have that quarter acre block all the time with all the garden space that we'd like to have. So these little courtyards have walls usually and also the sides of our houses. And there you go. There is real estate begging for a garden. Also, you can grow vegetables, you can grow in shady spots as well, and it looks good. And there's lots of other benefits to them as well. You can insulate your house with them. So imagine a whole lot of green walls. I know you're laughing at this, but I'm going to show you some pictures. I know it's radio, but if you've travelled around Sydney or Newcastle recently, there's quite a lot of buildings that are starting to implement this and they're growing greenery, mostly ferns and things.
We're talking about a heap of them.
There's a heap. You've seen them, Pete. There you go.
But
you can, that's it. You can do this at your home, but you can also do it on your fences as well, or you can create trellises to grow up. I don't know if something's actually growing in the ground though and going up a trellis or a wall, that's really a climber. That isn't actually a vertical garden. So they're defined as having a pot or a structure fitted to something vertical and they're growing within that space. And it is a wonderful idea and I want more of it.
The Hanging Gardens of Babylon come to mind.
Probably the first ones. They were probably the first ones.
That was a couple of years ago.
Do you remember
it? Quite a few. Were they hanging gardens? Were they vertical gardens?
They were. I think we could probably say they were the first ones.
Hanging gardens of Babylon.
Yeah. Well, look.
There's a little bit of history there from the old biblical days. And, of course, with all these biblical stories, we can sort of take them as being Maybe factual.
Maybe
not so factual in some cases.
But
nevertheless, I'm not going to go into that this morning.
Well, we've got a few experts that are helping us along the way today. We've got Tim, who's the manager at Burbank Erina, and he'll be talking about what sort of plants we can put into these vertical gardens, his experience, a few tips as well. And I believe you found someone who's growing garden in a retaining wall?
It came to mind when I was driving through my suburb of Saratoga.
Okay.
I said, is this a vertical garden or not?
Hmm.
And we'll tell you about the story and the background to that during the show today. Is there a vertical or shall we say
a hanging garden of Saratoga.
We'll find out. It's meantime, let's go up this morning with the Gardening Gang. Coast FM, Pete Little and Cheryl and Darcy, the Gardening Gang today, and it's Vertical Garden Day.
We're going up. We are.
We're going up in a puff of smoke. Now, we've got Tim on the line, Tim Ferrugia from the Burbank at Erina Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim, welcome aboard, my friend.
Morning, guys.
It is a gorgeous day to talk about vertical gardens. I don't know why, but Cherilyn chose this topic for a specific reason. Why, Cherilyn?
Because it saves space and you can put them anywhere. And you know what? I reckon they look good. What do you reckon, Tim?
Oh, beautiful. If you've got a big bare wall or something like that, they definitely fill a nice space, don't they?
They do. So we were wondering, what sort of plants would you suggest, as being the expert horticulturalist you are, that we could put in a vertical garden?
Good idea. Good question.
It is a great question.
We're talking outside ones.
We're talking outside, yeah.
Yeah. If they're smaller containers, I don't think you can go past some of your ground cover succulents, things like pig face and sedum and even echeveras and sedeveras, those sort of things.
Well, they climb, will they?
They don't need to climb because they're in pots.
Oh, Hank. I'm thinking of climbers. I've now got it in back in my day, a flower, yes, used to climb. It was called a climber.
Was it? No, these are in there because they're in those. Remember, we've been talking about how you put it all together. These are sort of in pots on the wall. That's what you've got to think of it.
Well,
like,
I've got to rethink my whole perspective now.
Yeah, you do.
Now I've got it. Now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, forgive me. I'm a bit ignorant today about this whole issue of vertical gardens. I've now crystallised that in my brain. Thank you so much for that.
So what else can we put in there, Tim?
I've got one at home and I do herbs. Bit lazy, so they're not always well watered. I've gone with Mediterranean ones like your thyme and rosemary and oregano, marjoram. Those are the things that don't need as much attention as say your like parsley and mint and some of your sort of water loving ones. But if you've got a spare space, nice sunny spot near the kitchen window, a vertical garden with herb and veggies or smaller veggies.
I think that would smell really nice, like wafting into the kitchen. What a great idea.
You can't get enough thyme, honestly. I don't know what dinner I make that doesn't have thyme in it generally.
Really? I like dill. I'm like that with dill. I should present company accepted.
I beg your pardon, madam.
Sorry, you've been cheeky with me lately and I thought I'd have to get a dig in there with you, that's all. But I actually do. I love dill. Do you think dill's something that you can grow in a vertical garden?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what your experience is, but I don't find dill lives a long life. Lives a good life, but not a long one.
And a yummy one.
Short-lived plant. Okay.
That's it. And what about all that potted colour that I see in a lot of the nurseries, like Burbank? Will that go well in a vertical garden?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, look, and you can get potted colour for sun or shade, so you've definitely got a lot of options.
Mm.
Potted colour needs replacing, but if you need high-impact colour, potted colour and your sort of punnets and those sort of annuals are the way to go. Definitely. Pansies, petunias in the warmer months and violas, definitely a very showy annual.
Beautiful.
Now, if I can just jump in there, Tim. Sherilyn is being very positive about the impact of a vertical garden. Help me out here. What would be, in your opinion, some of the negatives, some of the things that would hold you back?
I see people come into the nursery and want advice, and they've chosen a vertical garden that has next to no space per pot. So ideally, if you can find or make one that holds a decent amount of soil, it'll definitely broaden your options of what you can plant.
Mm.
If you were finding one that was only, say, half a litre or the size of a normal 140ml pot, you probably couldn't grow too many things without a lot of attention.
Mm.
That's the downside with smaller soil capacity.
Yeah, I guess those felt ones I've seen, they're like a little pocket. They're probably
why
not
wouldn't
that
more
good.
People go into it? Because you don't seem to see a lot of vertical gardens around when I walk up and down my street at Saratoga. Would they be hidden somewhere? Would they be put into a backyard section? I mean, I just don't see them on display anywhere.
I feel like they're more of a backyard thing.
Yeah. Backyard thing.
They're like courtyards and backyards. That's what I think. Okay. I've got a vertical garden on a fence, and, yeah, it's in my backyard. It's not a front yardy sort of thing because you've got more space really there.
Feeding and watering, if you can get that right, I think you've got sort of endless possibilities with a vertical garden.
Yes, I understand that now, for sure.
I was on holidays last week, and in a shopping centre, there was probably like a 3-4-storey vertical garden of all indoor plants. And
wow.
It was beautiful.
How nice. Looking wall makes me happy.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about utilising space for a vertical garden. Inspired by, we think, the Romans?
We think, we don't know. I should have that as fact or fib. I might look that up and I'll throw that curveball later in the show.
And Tim, you've joined us today on just uncovering a few little things there about the verticals that hadn't even come to mind.
Yeah.
The fact that they are there, but most people put them in their backyard.
That's it.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Well done, Timmy. Well done, Tim. Always nice to talk to Timmy from Burbank on the Gardening Gang today. And, mate, we'll catch you again with another, you know, cryptic quiz or a cryptic question about gardens.
Thank you.
We can always trust Tim with the answers. He's one of the horticulturalists at Burbank House and Garden at Erina. And you're at home with the Gardening Gang right here on Coast FM 963 with Pete and Sherilyn.
Catch you later, Tim.
Lost in France, right here at Coast FM 963, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy on this, the 20th day of the month, and feeling good. Well, the rain is good, Sherilyn. We need some rain. We've had a fairly good run for a while of summery weather. Mm-hmm. It is the holidays, of course, but boy, a little rain going to help them gardens soften up.
It will. But it means weeding as well. Usually after the rain comes the weeding, unfortunately.
Okay, let's stop the rain.
No, don't do that. The rain's really good. It's good for vertical gardens as well. There you go.
Today we're being sponsored by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs at Wyoming, open all this weekend. Great sponsors of Coast FM, along with our very good friends at Berkeley Vale, Doormaster Security Doors and Windows. Long-term sponsors of your Gardening Gang here at Coast FM.
Thanks, guys.
Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy with the Gardening Gang today. And we're being sponsored by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows.
Thanks, guys.
Nothing to do with our topic today, which is all about vertical gardens. Mm. There's a section of the road that's recently been put through in Saradise, we call it, actually, Saradise. Saratoga.
Oh, my gosh.
Part of the retaining wall for a whole big cutting that went through.
Okay.
And improved the whole road system out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now looking a bit like a vertical garden.
Really?
Yeah, it's a retaining wall with that greenery in it.
Oh.
Would that be classed as being a vertical cutting?
I don't know, but you did send me a little article about this, Pete, and I have found out that there's a group of people called Bug, that's what they're called.
Bug.
Yeah, Bug, and they've got together, they're the Bush Urban Garden Group, Bug, and I found the head Bug, and she's on the line right now, Tracy Ellis. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Tracy, nice to catch up with you. Are you a Saratoga girl?
Well, I was at the time, but I've just moved a little bit further afield now. I'm at Kincumber.
Oh, you're next door. Okay.
Next door.
Based on the fact that you are a bug, we'll talk to you today. Tell us all about the Bug.
Yeah, what is
organization?
Bug?
Okay. Well, back in the bad old days of COVID, probably June, July 2020, the Three Villages Community Group put out a call for people to. Who might be interested in getting a community garden going in the Three Villages.
Yeah.
And I'd recently stopped working and I had a bit of a time to spare, so I was like, yeah, I'll be in that. So originally there were three of us and we established the Bug group. And, yeah, one reason or another, it's just me now.
We need more bugs. We need
You're
more
the
bugs.
Queen bug, the king bug, the bug bug.
We need more bugs.
Yes.
So what did you have? So Tracy, what did you have to do with this this vertical garden that Pete's talking
Tell
about?
Tell people to bugger retain? Off, I suppose.
Oh, no, they're not. What did Bug have to do with this actual garden that Pete's talking about?
Well, I chose plants, located, like sourced the plants, rounded up some volunteers to go and get the plants.
Right.
And Three Villages Community Group paid for them. And then we mustered about probably 15 to 20 people. Right. And after jumping through all the council hoops and doing the site orientation and all that stuff, we got planting.
So you've converted what was going to be a boring old retaining wall into a nice little piece of greenery for people to see and appreciate for the future.
Absolutely.
You know, it looks magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm from the north, and I don't know if you're a regular listener here, so I don't get round the south very, very often, and I haven't seen this I've been there a while ago. I have to get my passport stamped every now and then from the north. Tracy, what sort of plants have you put into this retaining wall?
Well, we basically tried to stick with natives because they're going to, stand up for themselves in the long term without too much fussing. Mm. So basically we've put in some, I don't know, the, I've got mostly the proper names, Leptospermum,
yeah,
which is a pretty little pink flower on a small shrub.
Lovely.
We've got the honey myrtle, Melaleuca thymifolium, folia, which is another cute little bush with purpley flowers.
Yeah.
And then a couple of ground covers. We put in three blueberry ash, which was to signify one tree for each village.
Oh, that's nice.
One to Davis
House. Yeah. That's so nice. I love it. But basically, natives, that's a good idea.
Can I ask a question here, Tracy? Tracy, why would you need to get council approval? Because if you're going for a DA, I can understand there may be something to construct, but doing a planting, surely that doesn't involve a lot of red tape, does it?
Just a little bit of red tape. It's council land, and they want to know that they're not going to get lumped with the maintenance of it, I guess.
They were
really good. And, I mean, it's on a main road. It's at height. There were a few safety issues that had to be addressed. So we did a site orientation with all our volunteers. The guy from council came out on a Saturday, which, you know, is above and beyond his scope, I guess.
Pay scale.
They get their way. Exactly. But he was terrific. He was really, really good.
Oh, that's good.
And he's been good in the follow-up as well. He arranged for the council water truck to come and water it, I think, once a week for a couple of months, because it was in November that we planted it, November 20.
Okay, right.
November 22, so getting into the hot weather.
Yep.
So they watered it for us till about February.
It's brilliant.
And then it just fended for itself. We did lose a couple of plants, but I think maybe three out of nearly 40-odd plants.
Well, it's a bit expensive.
I think the dogs might have got to them.
They did not, Pete.
I was really happy with the amount of plants that actually survived.
Hmm. Well, it's not a bad substitute for a community garden, because there's probably, a big waiting list to get the community garden going. On the was that being given away now, that idea?
No, it's still on the brew. We've put in a DA for a community garden at Juramba Park at Saratoga.
Yep.
Which sort of didn't float well with council. But now we've got our eyes on some other land somewhere else, which all will be revealed in due course.
Well, they don't call it Saradise for nothing, do they?
No.
No, they don't.
Well, lovely talking to you, Tracy. I'm going to play that song for you now.
Which one?
It's all about Tracy.
Oh, that was a bug song. Okay,
no,
Tracy's song.
Not a bug song. This is all about Tracy.
All right, let's hear it.
Just for Tracy this morning.
It's all about me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Tracy Ellison. She is from Bug Bush Urban Garden Group in the Three Villages area. And you're listening to Coast FM 963 at home with the Gardening Gang with Pete and Sherilyn.
And here's the Cufflinks and Tracy.
M963, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy. We've just jumped in our sleigh and popped down to Narara Valley Nursery today.
What better place to be?
Do a special episode of our program from location number one, Top of Man's Road. Vicky, what's hot, is right
here
with us now.
Hello.
G'day, Vicky. Good to see you.
Hello.
In the flesh.
This is awesome.
Okay. Now, we've got the opportunity of telling people what are the big specials in the independent nursery world around the coast. What do you got? Some good news?
Well, I always start at Burbank House and Garden, and they've got loads of camellias, the perfect flowering hedge. It's probably one of Sherilyn's favourites.
It is. I love them. They're so pretty.
And Mother's Day coming up too.
And I've got some exciting news for mothers coming up. It's Crowiers at the Wildflower Meadow this weekend. Lots of varieties to choose from. They're little native superstars. Here we go. Mother's Day gifts at Forrester's Beach Garden Centre. They've got heaps of different cyclamens. And it's 30% off everything at Shimehaven Garden Centre. I bet you can find your mum something there at 30% off, because they've got pots, water features and statues on sale. Mm-hmm. And another super awesome idea for Mother's Day is African violets, and you can find lots of them at Kingcumber Homewares. And also something a little different, you could do this for Mother's Day too, but tomorrow, Wye Nursery are having a make-your-own fairy garden workshop. so you can do your bookings online.
Ah, do you know what? That's a great
way. Why would you want to go to that?
Because you've got kids and they're on school holidays.
Oh, of course.
And it would be a really good thing to do with the kids.
Excellent idea. Fairy garden.
Come on.
I thought they faded away years ago.
No, I'd still like them. Yeah, they are.
You got daughters?
They're very popular. With the little kids, they definitely are. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You see the kids scooting around the place with little fairy outfits. I suppose it's all part of the look, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes, of course. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Now, Sherilyn, I think we also should include the opportunity for a representative of Narara Valley Nursery to spruik their specials.
Why not?
Who do we have here? Oh, Vicky.
Let me have a look around. Vicky.
Oh, Vicky, you're here. Why don't you tell us what's happening?
You might know me as What's Hot Vicky from... Yeah. What's hot at our garden centre this week is it's our 50% off pot shed is filling up so fast right now with awesome pots, really awesome pots. I promise I give you my word. 50% off pots and the pot shed is filling up right now as we speak. The boys are down there unpacking pots and putting them in their place just so that you guys can come through today and tomorrow and peruse at your own leisure. And I'll even help you, Sherilyn, and fill up your car.
I tell you what, I can see the guys down there and there's a few pots there. You're right, I'm going to grab those.
Yep, and Pete too.
Okay, I brought the trolley here.
You didn't bring the old Mercedes, did you?
I brought your Mercedes trailer. I brought that.
Fill her up, Pete.
Yep. Okay, pots we need. Okay, that's great. Plenty of activity happening around the nursery world at the moment. Now, Sherilyn Darcy also joins us every Saturday morning with Vicky to talk about the question of the year. Is it a gardening fact or is it a gardening fib?
Exactly. You ready, you two?
Ready.
I think we're still even, aren't we? Or maybe Pete's just ahead a little bit. I haven't got the scoreboard here. I haven't got
Vicky's
the scoreboard.
Ahead.
She's ahead? Okay. So we're talking vertical gardens and have I got a good one for you this week. So in 2012, a vertical garden opened in the Botanical Gardens in Berlin, Freudenstock Gardens.
Right.
It has over 600 species of tropical plants and it's spread over 1,270 square metres. And it is the Guinness Book of Records' largest vertical garden in the world. Is that a fact or a fib?
You've been to Berlin at all, Vicky?
No, I have not.
It's very pleasant.
I would like
Hitler's
to go.
Hitler's left.
Yep. Definitely like to go.
Well and truly.
Did you say tropical vertical garden?
Well, they've got tropical in there as well. It's indoor. It's an indoor.
Oh, right. I was going to say, because I don't think that was a climate.
No, it wouldn't work in the middle of winter in Berlin. They'd be all, gone.
Look, I don't know really much about Berlin and their vertical gardens, but I'm thinking there might be a little bit of truth in the air here. So I'm going to... Well, I'm trying to read your face.
Poker face.
You got a poker face.
I'm not feeling confident now after looking at Sherilyn's
pots. I'm looking at the pots. I've put the question out there and I'm looking for pots to buy.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to lock in true.
Okay. I feel it's a bunch of hogwash.
Do you?
I think it's a different place in Europe.
Do you?
That has that... large vertical.
Singapore. Maybe I could.
Well, this is nowhere near Berlin.
Is this fact or fib, guys? I'm going to say it's a fib.
I'm very doubtful.
By my original conviction.
I have no idea where the largest vertical garden is in the world. None whatsoever. But I do know it's probably not Berlin. That was a whole lot of nonsense.
I'll take a bow on that one. You were sucked in there, Watson.
Give me the mic. I'm going to drop it.
All right.
Well, there it is. Fact or fib today. We got Sherilyn Darcy there just slightly giving me a bit of favour, I think, because I'm
maybe
a bit more cynical than Vicky, I think.
Well, there you go. Hey, Vic, really nice to be down here at the Garden Centre with you today.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to go out and load up those boots.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And those pots. A couple of pots for me, thanks.
That was What's Hot Vicky, and she joins us every Saturday morning at home with the Gardening Gang right here on Coast FM 963 with Pete and Sherilyn.
Morning.
Get your hands dirty with the Gardening Gang. Saturday mornings at 8 on Coast FM 963.
Classic hits with the Gardening Gang here at Coast FM 963 with Pete and Sherilyn this morning, all being sponsored by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows. Now,
get a little dirt on your hands, boy. Get a little dirt on your hands.
Here is Sherilyn Darcy. They say there, get a little dirt on your hands, boy. You ain't no boy.
No, I ain't no boy. This is for the boys and the girls. Get a little dirt on your hands, coasties. First of all, what's on for plant lovers? You can get a little mushroom dirt on your hands because tomorrow one of our good friends, Clara, from Clara's Urban Mini Farm, has a mushroom cultivation workshop on. Now, the Gosford address will be advised after you've booked. Join Permaculture Central Coast at Clara's Urban Mini Farm for a workshop on all things mushroom cultivation. You can grow oyster and lion's mane mushrooms indoors in buckets. What's this, Steve? He came in late, didn't he? Here he is. Steve, what is going on? You missed it. You missed it.
Steve, you'll be cut.
Oh, you will be cut. I'm sorry, but they're very strict around here on Coast FM. All right, wine cap and portobello mushrooms. I was getting so excited about that. In outdoor gardens will be covered as well as shiitake and oyster mushrooms on logs. And we'll be looking at safely cooking and foraging saffron milk cup mushrooms as well. You can find out more at humanitix.com.au. Just search for mushroom cultivation at Clara's Urban Mini Farm. Now, what can you do in your garden this week? It's
yes,
very
indeed,
exciting.
Yes, indeed, Steve. Now it's your cue, my friend. What are we growing this week, Sherilyn?
Well, now, believe it or not, it's the best time to plant for spring colour. And your lawns could probably do with a bit of a feed. And with this rain around, it'll really get that fertiliser right into that lawn as well. This week, you could also plant culinary herbs, artichokes, but the suckers, that's what you need to do, broad beans, broccoli, cabbages, cress, endive, leeks, lettuce, mustard, onions, peas, radishes, shallots, spinach, spring onions, turnips as well. It's getting a little smaller, that list of vegetables, but you can also get in a lot of flowers, including calendula, candy tuft, carnations, cinaria, columbines, cone flowers, delphinium, dianthus, everlasting daisies, forget-me-nots, hollyhocks, foxgloves, honesty, Livingston daisies can go in now. Geez, I love those. Nigella, pansies, polyanthers, poppies, primulas, snapdragons, the snappy snaps. Status can go in now, and so can all those stocks, including the beautiful evening scented stock. Sweet peas, quick, get them in. The window is closing. Violas and Pete's favourite, wallflowers.
I've just realised, you know, Sherilyn, you do those in alphabetical order.
Oh, I did one out.
You start from A to W. That's it. That one there, very clever.
Second
year boy. So clever. Well, she is. Good morning. Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy on this weekend with so many guests today in the studio. They're just backing up out there. Come on, Chef Daniel, he's walking.
He's
got a pot in one hand, a pan in the other hand. Good
I've
morning,
got
mate.
My ticket is up and I'm here. You know, everyone has to wait outside. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks for waiting, my friend. We were very helpful last week at the show. And that Dagwood dog went down very well. Didn't come up all right either.
The mullet competition was quite interesting as well.
It was, wasn't it?
Tasty.
Oh, dear.
Now, vertical gardens. That's the topic of conversation today with the Gardening Gang. And, Sherilyn, where is the link with Chef Daniel and a vertical garden?
Well, I'll tell you.
Pray tell.
Most people have been saying that the best thing to grow in vertical gardens is herbs. And I thought, who better to ask about herbs than Chef Daniel's? Because I'm sure he uses heaps. All his cooking's very, very tasty.
Well, that's the whole idea, is you want to make sure when you use your herbs, like you're going to grow them. It's amazing to grow them in a vertical garden because it saves a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing these vertical gardens now with like PVC pipes and then a couple of herbs growing out of all the different kind of holes that they've put in the PVC pipe, which is awesome. But what we want to do is we want to come up with one simple rule when it comes to cooking or playing or using herbs in general.
Rules.
Okay? So there's one very simple rule. You've got two types of herbs. You have a hard herb and you have a soft herb.
True.
Any idea what a hard herb is?
Well, would pepper be a hard herb?
No, pepper's more like a spice.
Oh, okay.
Right? When we're talking like hard herbs, we're talking rosemary, thyme, sage, coriander stalks, you know, things like that. Soft herbs, we twist it over and we've got things like basil, parsley, dill, chives, things like coriander leaves.
It's kind of like they're stalks, and Pete's looking so lost.
Feel there's
lost
no difference in those.
Oh,
at all.
There's a whole
there is
lot
a complete
of difference.
Difference.
Have a look at some rosemary, Pete, and it is very hard. Like the stalk is very, very hard. The leaves are quite tough and hard. And have a look at parsley, for example, it's really soft and sort of fluffy.
And delicate.
And delicate, yes.
So you've got to use them completely two separate ways. And one rule I have with them is you can cook one, mm-hmm. but you can't cook the other. For example, you've had a lamb roast.
Absolutely.
Right? You've grabbed all your beautiful lamb, and you got your lamb in the baking yep. dish, you got your rosemary and your yep. thyme that you've just taken off your vertical garden,
yep.
you've smashed it all over your lamb, you've put it in the oven. What's your kitchen smell like? You could smell the lamb, you could smell the rosemary, you could smell the thyme because you're cooking it. Right, and as you're cooking it, the flavor's getting released more and more and more. Mm. Things like basil and parsley, if you cook it like you cook rosemary and thyme, you're just going to kill the flavor. Right, there's absolutely going to be nothing there.
Very interesting.
So when you're using basil, it doesn't mean that you can't use soft herbs in cooked product.
Right.
Okay? So the rule is thyme, rosemary, sage, coriander stalks, fry them off, cook them out, put them in the oven, perfumes everything even better.
Yum.
The soft herbs. If you're going to use soft herbs in cooked product, like basil, for example, I've just cooked a big pot of Napolitana sauce, right? So our Napolitana sauce that we cook in Baker Street is we take about 6 hours.
Right.
Right? We turn the heat off. Then we grab two or three bunches of basil and we put it into the sauce after the heat is off. What happens is something unique really happens is you're kind of bruising the basil. And as you bruise the basil therefore perfumes the flavor right through the sauce. It's kind of, ever seen a bartender with mint?
Yes.
And they kind of
bash it up.
Smash it.
Yeah.
And it releases and bruises and extends the flavor. That's what you're doing with the soft herb. If you kind of cook it out, it's going to go yuck. You're going to waste it.
Well, you're right. So when I do soups, I love parsley in soup. So I always, and that's the rule, isn't it? You wait until you've cooked the soup and they always go get a bunch of parsley, chop it up, throw it in at the end. That's like it. Once you've taken off the heat. That's an oldie, but yes, it's obviously one's from like, that
it's
thing.
Kind of, they call it garnishing with the spot, with the herb, right?
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that you really just, what you're essentially trying to do is use the oils from those soft herbs to fragrant and really perfume the soup, the dish, the stew, anything like that. And it actually just offers this wonderful, beautiful aroma of freshness right through it. And that's where you, that's the secret of flavor, right? It's not, it's kind of going, I've got rosemary, I've got thyme. If I throw that with some onion and garlic into a frying pan and I really start to fry it up, you start to smell it. If you don't smell it, you don't taste it.
Oh, I like that.
If you can't smell it, you don't taste. Have you gone to an Indian restaurant and walked into an Indian restaurant and not smell anything?
No, it's always...
It smells, right?
You can tell where it is.
When you walk into an Indian restaurant and you cannot smell those spices, walk out. Just leave. Because you know it's not going to be good.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to be able to smell the flavors that you're about to experience in your palate.
Yeah.
It kind of comes back down to that red wine, white wine, you know, drinking wine kind of concept.
Yeah.
Where you smell the wine before you sip it. It's because your nose, which is your smell, and your palate, which is in the back of your throat, actually connect. And that's why you could, you know, have you ever heard, I could smell the rain coming?
Oh, absolutely.
Or I could taste the rain coming. That's because your palate and your nose are actually connected to the back of your throat. So you want to try and experience anything that you're smelling, you should be able to taste as well.
Love it.
So you learn these things in the early stages of your education, do you?
Well, we learn a lot about flavour, a lot about grabbing it out.
I've missed a lot of that in my cooking school. I never had one.
And that's why
I'm going to rethink myself completely. And that's the difference often between a homemade one and one from the restaurant.
Ah, oh, there you go. Yes. We're getting
all about the flavour.
We're getting all the secrets here. Thanks, Chef Daniel.
Well done, Chef Daniel. We'll catch you next week with more news from the kitchen.
Can't wait.
You're listening to Coast FM 963. You're home with The Gardening Gang with Pete and Sherilyn and Chef Daniel from Baker Street.
Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy, it is The Gardening Gang. And right now talking to Tanya Middleton, who is our esteemed vet, the vet nurse who talks to us about pet life. And Tanya, today I thought we would broach the topic, which we haven't done before, about training pets, puppy school.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on sending your recalcitrant pet to puppy school?
Are they recalcitrant when they're a puppy?
Disobedient. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, what's the thoughts of puppy school? Are they necessary?
Absolutely. Puppy school is a lot of fun for pet mums and dads and also for the puppies. I have actually taught a lot of puppy preschool in my time, and it has also been a lot of fun for me. I definitely think it's necessary for a lot of reasons.
Well, let's start with preschool first. How old should they be?
Some clinics
or trainers recommend 12 to 16 weeks. I think as long as they've had at least two vaccines, that's the important thing.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I understand that. We're all getting vaccines, so we can't include our pets in that regard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, puppy preschool is important for socialisation, and that needs to start at that young age because you don't want to have a puppy that is only used to you and your family or you and other people. You want a puppy that is good around other dogs. You know, you often see those dogs every time another dog walks past, they're going crazy because they've never seen another dog. You know, you want to socialize them as much as possible when they're young, and puppy preschool provides that socialization. Super important at such a young age.
So it has the word school in it. So do they actually, other than socializing, what things do they learn in puppy school?
The ABC. How to count?
Well, do you know what? They learn the ABC of puppy training.
Right.
You know, but as far as training, yes, we do teach them to, you know, sit, drop, stay, all those basic commands. Mm-hmm. But it's more so teaching the owners to teach the dogs. So, yes, we will teach sit. We will teach you to teach your dog to sit because if it's not something that is repeated, you know, possibly their first 6 to 12 months, they're not going to continue doing it. So we do teach the puppies, but we teach the owners as well. Most puppy preschool classes only go for about 4 weeks. So it's once a week for about 4 weeks. Okay. So to teach a dog something long term, it needs to be reinforced.
What about if you were to adopt an older pet? Is there a puppy high school, for example?
College?
Yeah, look, there definitely is dog training classes.
My sailor boy, he's 9 months old now, and he sits perfectly, I'll say. But it takes a lot of, you're right, the repetition as well. But if a dog can't sit, that's a basic command, you can't have any control over them.
That was my question. I mean, to say, if you get an adopted pet at an older age, are they still trainable?
Tanya?
Absolutely they are. Yeah, it's just all, as Sharon said, it's all about repetition. Mm. Consistency and repetition. And, you know, I think sometimes people yell at their pets because their pets aren't doing as they're asking them, but if the owners aren't being consistent with what they're asking, or the family members aren't being consistent with what they're asking, with their commands, the dog doesn't know what's going on.
That's the same with bringing up kids, I think.
Yes.
You've got to be consistent in your praise or your correction messages. Exactly.
And I'm going to ask this. I'm more on praise for dogs. I don't know whether it's the breed, I love boxes, than treats. Like when I train my dogs, I use praise. So when he sits, he gets a pat, mm-hmm. and he gets a cuddle and he gets all that, and then that's what he wants. I don't actually use treats. Well, I'm so fascinated.
You give those to me instead.
Yeah, I do. I bring them in for Pete. Yeah,
he does. That's a nice chocolate. Thank you.
Yeah, that's nice. You just had one of roses. That's it. At puppy school, what do they teach? Is it either treats and praise, or what's the secret?
And it really depends on the dog. They do often use treats at puppy preschool.
Right.
Some dogs are very food motivated, and praise just doesn't cut it.
Okay.
It is what it is. Some other dogs aren't food motivated at all, and they much prefer a cuddle. So it just really does depend on the dog.
Hey, thanks for your input today, Tanya, our vet nurse, joining us every Saturday morning here at Coast FM. Have a great week and a nice weekend. We'll catch you next week, hey?
Thanks, Tanya.
Thanks, guys.
No, I have to go.
Coast FM, Pete Little and Cheryl and Darcy on this cheery old Saturday morning and having a good day with the gardening gang.
Absolutely.
Cheryl and Darcy, you're enjoying my company, I'm sure.
Always.
It's so exquisite on the Saturday morning. And as we further towards the end of the show today, I thought we'd tap into Lachlan McDonald. He is getting up, rising and shining about now, whereas we've been up all hours. And Lachlan, good morning to you. I've got a real surprise for you, surprise question for you today. You ready?
Morning, Lachlan.
Morning. I'm always ready for your surprise question, Steve.
Well, it's a good question because it came out of the blue. It was a question that was raised by a friend of mine because they had an experience with a property they were buying, and it wasn't what they thought it was. Sheldon looking very, very perplexed there. They had done some, the previous owners had done some renovations on the property, which was probably built in the 40s, I think, yeah. And the renovations actually hid a few warts.
Ooh.
Now, Lachlan, have you come across that before?
If you're not looking closely enough as a buyer, then it's certainly possible for, you know, a quick spruce up to hide some warts or some, you know, perhaps some, hidden building issues.
Mm.
So you really do have to be careful as a buyer to make sure that you're doing all of your research beforehand and not just having a quick look through and taking it on face value.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, guys, the agent can be completely in the dark as well. Where we've actually seen this happen is, you know, where an owner has gone to extensive lengths to hide certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time the agent, they don't tell the agent either because they're obviously worried that that's going to affect the agent's impression of price, which
sure.
it would. So, yeah, a lot of the times this is something which is you know, planned by the owner before an agent even looks at the property. And unless you go to the extent of getting building and pest inspections, you may not find it out. So we always try and get one done before we go to the market so that we know exactly if there's anything hidden that we should be aware of.
Okay, so that's something that you as agents look after. Do you try and put in place a pest inspection, not so much a pest inspection, but a building inspection prior to listing, do you?
We certainly do. And not everyone does it, but it is becoming more common that there's one at least available. And the beauty of that is that if there is anything, it pops up prior and we can either get it addressed or at least we're aware of it. You know, so there's certain things that are referred to as material facts. Have you heard that one, Pete?
Material facts.
I've never heard that term before.
That would be wear and tear. Would that be wear and tear?
No, so material facts are things which the agent has to disclose by law.
Okay.
Ah.
So they're things like, you know, the old, there's been someone murdered in the house. There's been someone murdered in the house, that old one. You know,
aware of that one.
Yeah, death in the house, those sorts of things. But it also comes down to structural defects or things like termite history.
Mm-hmm.
If there's been a termite infestation or any termite damage in the recent history of the property, the agent has to disclose it.
Mm.
So it's obviously, that's one of the reasons we like to get those reports done is because if we find that out day one, we then have to disclose it. You know, if an agent hasn't got a building and pest report done, they may be as in the dark as you are as to whether or not the property has any faults.
Mm-hmm.
And can the agent be liable if they haven't reported the truth and nothing but the truth?
Mm.
Yeah, definitely, Pete. And that's the thing, you know, you've got to make sure that you're going to effort to find out if there's anything wrong. But at the end of the day, we're not builders. So it's the buyer's responsibility to make sure that they have done their due diligence and made sure that there's nothing hidden, you know, because ultimately, you know, we don't know what's behind the paintwork either. You know, a builder is someone that really needs to come and give you an idea as to whether the home.
That's where they get their screwdriver out and prod around and push in here and get behind cupboards and wardrobes
they
and the
do.
Like and under the house as
they
well.
They do, and in the roof. I've had it done. Yeah,
have you really?
Well, I bought the house, you know, up at Lake Memorial.
Were you wary about your place when you bought it? Were you? No, it was a project house.
I wasn't wary, but I got a building report. Luckily, our neighbour in Sydney was actually a builder, and he said, "I'll do it for you. I'll do the building report." And he was, I'll tell you what, he was an old Scottish builder, and he put that house through the paces. And there were things that he was telling me about. I'm like, I'm okay for that. And he's like, oh, no, got to be canny. That was it. Honestly, I think he looked at every single nail in that house, I tell you.
Well, you would have been happy about that, I guess. You know?
I was.
Yeah, that would be probably in respect of the buyer's interests, the best type of building inspection to have.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly what you want. That's it. Yeah.
Warts and all.
100%.
Well, you know, I guess to sort of answer your question, Pete, about what are some of the things that can get hidden, I'd say to buyers the key things to look for is things like dampness, leaks,
or mold, because those are things that can be covered up by a lick of paint. So just because the paint's fresh, you know, if the leak hasn't been fixed, obviously, you know, you're going to have a big watermark on your ceiling again in a few months' time. So that's one of the really big things. Look for any sort of water damage. Paintwork can hide that for a short period. And the other thing too is if there's any sort of, a spruce up to a bathroom, for example, that is quite obviously not a renovation.
Okay, so we got to go from virtually the roof to the subfloor.
It's great advice.
Lock down well and truly before you part with the cash. Yeah. Lachlan, thanks for joining us today. We always enjoy a bit of wise words of wisdom.
Yes, thank you, Lachlan.
Lachlan McDonald there from Ray White McDonald Partners.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure. See you next week.
Three with the gang this morning, and just one look by the Hollies. Coming up to 5 to 10. Now, Sherilyn, next week on the show, what's happening?
It's brassicas. It's time to plant your cauliflower, cabbages, your kale, and, of course, your little trees, also known as broccoli.
Okay, we've got the Gardening Gang every week being sponsored by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows.
Yes, nurse?
Now, Dr. Darcy, we've got a very sick plant here. What do you think we should do?
Let me get my gloves on for a thorough investigation.
The Gardening Gang with Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy. We're together every Saturday morning.
8 till 10, right here at Coast FM 963.